It's time for light that darkness can't defeat. It's time to escape from the shadow of death and into abundant life. For the people living in darkness have seen a great light, and those living in the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Welcome to the Great Light Program with David Oyedepo Jr. Get set to arise and shine, because your light has come.
I've seen many people who think that faith is only confession. And faith that is only confession will end in confusion. Because confession is a natural projection of faith, but that is not all. It is one of the actions of faith. You can't believe something and not come out of your mouth. Are you listening to what I'm saying? But it's one of the actions. It's not a substitute for the other ones. Whatever you believe in God's word has some instructions that are backing it on any subject. And it is your obedience to those instructions that back it that brings a product out of your faith. Are you listening to what I'm saying? This is so important. This is so important. And when this is captured, it makes us enjoy the fullness of what God has in store for us. You will not be frustrated. I said you will not be frustrated. In the name of Jesus Christ. You will not be frustrated. In the name of Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus said in the book of Matthew chapter 4 verse 4 that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God gives man an instruction on how to live. Are you hearing me? It gives man an instruction on how to live. Alright, let me give you this for example. We talked about prosperity and we talked about giving. That is one of the actions that back prosperity. But do you know that poverty must come to a waster, even if he's a giver? The Bible makes it very clear. He said the waster is of a similar heritage with the sluggard. And the sluggard is going to suffer want in the harvest. So if you are a waster and you are a giver, your wasting is canceling your giving. You see, so there are laws of the spirit that must be engaged. So there are acts. So don't just celebrate the promise. Discover the instructions and live by the instructions. That is what walking by faith really is. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's what walking by faith really is. I'm saying this because you must not end 2015 with the same prayer points you are praying now. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And that means your faith was not working. Sometimes Christians, we have a way of just being religious. We don't mind running after the same thing every time. But you see, if something failed last time, there is a reason why. And if you don't change your approach, then you are just begging it to fail again. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So, look for the instructions from scriptures to engage. Walking by faith is walking for God. And walking for God is walking His word. Walking His word. Walking His word. Taking God's word and walking it. Putting it to work. Discovering from God's word what it is that God has said. Every Sunday you come here, every Friday you come here, you hear God's word, you are taught. What have you done with the word that you have heard? Are you listening to what I'm saying? You know, there are people that like the end of a service. When the prophecy is coming. You understand? Pastor, finish the message. Get to the prophecy. Are you gonna say, hey, get to the prophecy? God wants to say something to me. So what is all the instructions is not saying to you, but the prophecy is saying to that one. Lord, now God is talking. Before, God was not talking, but now God is talking directly to me. Now the truth is this. Yes, he's talking to you, but he was also talking to you from the start of the message. And you know the truth? The prophecy is a product of the process of the message. If you don't process what has been said, what has been prophesied cannot be seen.
Right.
Are you listening to what I'm saying? So I've learned as a believer that anything I want from God's word, I must see what God demands for it. Are you listening to me? Anything I want from God's word, I must see what God demands for it. What does God want from me if I'm going to see what I want from his word? Are you listening to me? These are realities that we must come to terms with. And I pray that God will help us in the name of Jesus Christ. I said, I pray that God will help us in the name of Jesus. You see, this is where the renewing of our mind comes to play. We must take God's word and begin to renew our mind and use it as our parameter for operation. The Bible said, be not conformed to this world, but be what? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So until you have a new way of thinking, a new way of processing things, you won't have a new way of living. Is that not true? You won't have a new way of living. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. You will not have a new way of living. So God's word must become the guiding principle for everything that you do. How you run your family, how you run your finances, how you run your career, how you run your business, how you serve in church. God's word must become the center of it, not society. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Not tradition, not what somebody said, but what God's word said must become the guideline for how you operate the whole of your life. If you understand, I say loud amen.
Yeah.
All right, so we have said number one that, if you are working for God, is being committed to his word. Being committed to his word. And that's why I love what was said earlier. Your head must be buried in the book. That book called the Bible. Your head must be inside it. I've seen that your pastor sometimes will give you assignments on reading. You are deceiving yourself, you are not reading it. That is the honest truth. A Christian that does not read the Bible is a useless Christian. It's plain. I mean, it's just basic. It's just basic. Are you getting what I'm saying? You have no function because what fuels your faith is not there. So faith is weak. Whatever that faith faces that day, it falls. Not because it does not have capacity to win, but because it has not been fed with what it takes to win. Any vehicle without fuel must stop. Not because it can't move, but because it's not fueled. Any faith without the word must stop. Not because it is not available, but because it's not fed. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So the failure is not because of an absence of the capacity for faith, but the absence of the food for that faith. And that is why God's word must be committed not only to reading it, but to doing it. To doing it. To putting the word of God to work. Hear me and hear me very well. You see, the Christian life, a real Christian life, is a disciplined life. It's a disciplined life. You can't be a serious Christian and not be disciplined. I'm not just talking about holiness, but I'm talking about living according to divine dictates. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So, and that's where your commitment to God's word comes. Now, let me move forward very quickly. Number two thing that we see in working for God is your commitment to chasing the cause of God. So we said walking by faith is working for God. Working for God is working his word. Now working for God is also working his cause. His cause, C-A-U-S-E, his cause, his agenda, his plan. Now it's important for us to understand that is also in two dimensions. We have the personal instructions and general instructions. Personal instructions and general instructions. In John chapter 5, verse 19 to 21, we look at the life of Jesus here. And Jesus made a statement. He said, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. He said, For what things soever he doeth, this also does the Son likewise. And look at verse 20. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than this, that you may marvel. He said, as the Father has the capacity to raise the dead, so also he has given the Son that same capacity to raise whomsoever he will. But how will he do it? He cannot do anything by himself, whatsoever he sees. So God deals with you first as an individual. Are you listening to what I'm saying? As an individual, there are things that God has said to you as a person. That is his program. That is his agenda for you as an individual. This involves purpose. This also involves direction. Purpose in the sense of what God has designed you for. He said, I know the thoughts I have towards you. They are thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you an expected end. So God has a plan for your life. General. Are you listening to what I'm saying? There is a big plan for your life. Every one of us is different. I'm a pastor. God has a plan for me in ministry. God has a plan for somebody else in business. God has a plan for somebody else in career. So he has a plan. Your discovery and pursuit of that plan is also working for God. Are you getting what I'm saying? But not only the plan of God, but also the directions day to day. There are days God tells you, this is what to do. He tells you, this is what to do. Every one of those instructions are also God's divine agenda. Are you listening to me? Pursuing that, those personal instructions, is part of working for God. You see, we are in the last days, and that means that God is going to be raising people in various spheres of influence, whether it is in career, in business, and all of that, and they are coming from the church, whether the devil likes it or not. Are you listening to what I'm saying? That is what the Bible says. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
That's what the Bible says. And hear me like you have heard it over and over again. It doesn't have to take time. It doesn't have to take time. Let me share this quick testimony with you. One of the people in the church, he started a company in October this year. And by the beginning of this month, the company started in October and signed 4 contracts. Those 4 contracts are worth 8 figures. God, it doesn't have to take time. Now, before you get excited, listen. What made him start the company was an instruction. You see, if you don't know the process, you will miss the product. An instruction he received from God in the place of prayer. So your speed is determined by your light. He said, I will hasten my word to perform it. If whatever you are running with is what he said to you, then you are not permitted to suffer stagnation. But if what you are running with is what you heard your friend did, then the possibility and probability is that you will suffer the stagnation that he did not. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So your speed is determined by your light. Your personal instruction determines your actual destination. Your personal instruction determines your actual destination. Where you arrive at is determined by what he directs you. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So you must understand that, you see, life is interesting when you are living it at God's instruction. And I'm praying for somebody here that there are people here today that your spiritual ears are not yet open. You are not yet hearing how you should hear as an individual from God. But I pray for you today that via this encounter, your spiritual ears will pop open. That means that you will begin to hear precise instructions from God. You believe it? Shout a loud amen. There are people who wonder when they look at the commission that I'm privileged to come from, and they ask questions. How is it that all of these things happen? And they think it's in the multitude of the things that are done, but it's in the specificity of the instructions that are received. What you hear determines how far you will be heard from. what you hear. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So your capacity to hear, somebody put it this way, that if you can hear what others can't hear and see what others can't see, you will stand where others can't stand. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So your capacity to capture personal instruction. Now let me say this. The servant of God in the house, it is not his job to give each one of you every day a personal instruction. Now you see, you today, this is the word of the Lord for you. And then if he's doing that for every church member, there will be no message. Are you listening to what I'm saying? There will be no message. So don't go around looking for prophets to be telling you, is this thing going to work? Go down, man of God, this thing, are you sure it's going to work? He said, you develop your capacity to hear. Are you listening to me? Develop your capacity to hear. Develop your capacity to hear. This is so important because there are many Christians who are stranded because of this. Inability to hear. Inability to hear. Inability to hear. When I started pastoring here in Bermondsey. Our church was here in Bermondsey. And when God will give us a place, he gave us a place in Dartford. Are you getting what I'm saying? And first of all, I needed to know it was God. And he gave me a word. Because it was a former school facility. And he gave me a word from Acts chapter 19. One morning. And he said that Paul took them to the school of one Tyrannus. And there he disputed with them daily. And he said, it's the school. Now, if you are a pastor, you know that church should not be too far from people. Alright? Now, this is a church that has grown to a certain number, has become quite large, and most of the people are around the church. Now, you take the church from where they are, and it's not that you even took it to somewhere, it's not even within the transport zone of normal, it's outside the zone. So, those who use local transport are outside the zone. But God said go. We went there. We are far beyond where we were when we're inside the midst of the people, as it were. You see, your instruction carries your distinction. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It carries what? Your distinction. That it is unconventional does not mean it is outside God's direction. All you need to do is hear clearly. Stop running. There are many of you here that perhaps I sense that there are one or two people here that you have gone into many things. One day it is this one, another day, whichever one they tell you is the new popular one. You are there. I don't know who they are, but you have tried many things. You have tried many things. You have sold this one. You have bought this one. You have sold that one. You have bought this one. And you know, today in our world, there are too many things to try. Too many things. Too many kind of businesses. Too many kind of parts. I won't call anyone, so nobody will say I'm attacking any kind. But there are some that have come to me now. Some kind of businesses that many people are into. Now, it's not that the business is wrong. But is it your own assignment? Are you listening to what I'm saying? Is it your own assignment? Everybody can be selling cars. Everybody can be selling coins. Because who will be buying? If everybody is a seller, there is, so everybody has his place. Is that not true? Every shop cannot be shoe sellers. Because the cloth that you wear, where will you buy it from? Everybody has his part. Is that not true? And the Bible said that we are all different parts in the same body. So what you need to do is find your part. And your part is found in your instruction. Are you getting what I'm saying? And when you catch your instruction, you have your distinction. Are you listening to what I'm saying? That's so in 2015, look for your instruction. Are you hearing me? Look for what? There are many of you, the prayer you'll be praying in 2015 will be even more than what you have been praying these 92 days. You know why? Because you have to hear from God. You have to hear from God. The frustration is enough. Stop trying everything. The energy you are using to try everything, why not invest some in hearing from God? Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you try 10 things, 9 failed. How about if you use the energy you use to chase the 9 to find out which one of the 10 is the correct one? Instead of wasting, because time is, every time that is wasted is life that is wasting. I will say something to you now that you may not like. But your pastor is laughing, so I'm okay. Do you know that by tomorrow, you are going to be 1 day short of the rest of your life? Alright? By covenant, you have 120 years, so nobody is dying young. That's non-negotiable. You can't die young. Are you getting what I'm saying? The devil can't kill you, he can only trick you. And if he tricks you, you now agree to die. But you can't, I mean, if you understand your covenant right, 120 years, I'm not going anywhere. I've always been telling people, those who are wishing for me to die, they are wasting their time. Because I have a long time, long time to live. Long time. I saw it in my Bible. There are 120 years. But no matter, 120 years is still years. So if you are 30, at least you have subtracted 30 from it. It means 90 is remaining. Are you getting what I'm saying? You see, I have a principle I live by calling life by deduction. Life by what? Deduction. Since I know the full length, I should be reducing it. Are you getting what I'm saying? I should be year by year, I reduce it to know what is remaining so that I can know what to do with the remaining. I call it life by deduction. Now, my point is, instead of wasting your energy chasing many things that don't matter, why not find the main thing and chase it? Are you listening to what I'm saying? And that's where, like, you see, a life of faith is an instructed life. Consistently instructed life. A life that has direction step by step. What is destroying many people is not what God sent them, but what they added to it. I'm a pastor. I'm not a businessman. It's as simple as that. What I am is a pastor. I'm not going to add businessman to myself. Because what God called me to be is to be a pastor. Pastoring can't kill me. But there are other things that I can add to it that can cut short life. Because you are investing your energy in that which profits not. Songs of Solomon said, I believe it's chapter 1 verse 5, he said that my brothers have made me keepers of their vineyard, but my own vineyard I have not kept. And that has been many people's lives. They have run around other people's purposes and assignment, but their own assignment, they have not touched it. Do you know it is possible to live and die and not touch your assignment? Kenneth Hagin for 15 years was a pastor. And God told him, that's not your assignment. Are you hearing me? So that he was in ministry, but he was not in his assignment. And he said, well, now I welcome you to the first phase of your assignment after 15 solid years. And he told God, it cannot be correct. I have been pastoring. I've been pastoring for 15 years. I can't just be entering the first phase. He said, that what you were doing is not your real assignment. And he told him, he said, there are many people who they live and die and don't touch the first chapter. What I'm telling you is that 2015, invest your energy in gaining direction and you will have distinction. Are you listening? Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So we have the course of course and of God, and I said here that you have the personal instructions, and I also said you have general instructions. Is that not true? So personal is your purpose and your personal direction. Alright? Now, general instructions, what are the things God has said we should do as a church, regardless? There are a few things that we see from scriptures, and I just touch on one or two of them. The Bible makes us understand in Mark chapter 16, Mark 16, verse 15 to 17, Jesus said what? Go into all the world. And do what? Preach the gospel. Do you know that it is not only a pastor's job, it's everybody's job. Everywhere you are God's representative. The Bible said we are ambassadors of what? Of Christ. So everywhere we go, we are expected to be ambassadors. Now let me say this to you, it will help you. It is a disgrace for a believer not to be identified as one in the public. It is a disgrace. It's not enough just to be a good person, they should know you are a Christian. Why don't you go to the pub with us? Because I'm a Christian. There are things I believe in. Why don't you drink with us all the time? Because I am a Christian. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So don't tell me, see, in my profession, you know, I can't, if I expose myself, I'll be seen as pushing. Now, they invited you to pub in your profession. Yeah. Your profession. Satan has no problem with advertisement. It's Christians that do.
Yeah.
Are you hearing what I'm saying? Everywhere you go, you must identify with Christ. That is a general instruction. So if you are walking by faith, your identification with Christ will never be in question. There is nowhere I go that you need to. I'll tell you, I'm a Christian. I'm sorry, I'm a Christian. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm sorry. And you see, the truth is that the more you say it, the more it exhibits in you. Now, I had an experience some time ago, a few weeks ago. I was outside doing ministering to that's my life, ministering the gospel out on the street. And I was approaching a man and he looked at me. And he became, captured as I was approaching him. I said, how are you doing today? I said, I'm doing great. He said, I want to share something with you. He said, and as I began, he said, I knew you were a Christian. He said, because I saw a light around you. You see, the more you express your faith, the more you exhibit your faith, you become a living light by going around with the message of Christ. So a life of faith is a life on assignment for God. And one of those assignments is preaching the gospel. It's everybody's assignment. Are you listening to what I'm saying? It's everybody's assignment. Altar call is not only in church. Altar call is everywhere. Are you listening to what I'm saying? It's everywhere. In our church, I have my own converts that I won from the street. That I go and win from the street. Not by the grace of God, this year we're doing our Thanksgiving yesterday. We saw 1,500 souls won on around the altar. But in the last 9 weeks before the first Sunday of this month, we had 610 souls won on the street. Only the last night, that street. So altar is there, but street is there. Why? Jesus said to each one of us, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Not only to the pastor, but that is also your calling. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Do you know that that's part of your calling? Are you sure? Are you really sure? Some of you don't look convinced. Alright, 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 17, I will take it downward. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, how many men?
Any
man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Look at verse 18. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us now to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given those ones he has reconciled the ministry of reconciliation. And look at verse 19. It said, to wit, God in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And that's what now makes you an ambassador of Christ. So your ambassadorial assignment is representing Christ to recruit others into the kingdom of God. Are you listening to what I'm saying?
Yes.
Let me say this to you therefore. In 2015, your faith must be a public banner. You understand what I'm saying? And by faith here, I'm not just talking about your belief. I'm talking about your identification with Christ must be a public banner for the world to see. People who come across you must know that there is somebody in you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So walking by faith is not just the one you believe in must be exhibited to the world. Now let me say this to you. If you don't talk about Christ, the likelihood is your confidence about him being in you is questionable. Are you listening to me? If I'm going around, for example, with God's servant here, and we meet a group of people, and we're having a conversation, because he's with me, if they know me and don't know him, I have to introduce him. Is that true? I can't take him and then have a conversation and we just continue. And he is with me. So if Christ is with you and you are carrying him everywhere and not introducing him to anyone, do you really believe he is with you? Are you getting what I'm saying? Your Bible said Christ in you, the hope of glory, but do you believe it? If you believe it, how come you are carrying him everywhere but never mention him to anyone? I then question whether you really believe it. Are you listening to me? I know this faith teaching is somewhere off another angle.
Okay, I'm working it.
Are you listening to me? I'm sure you wonder, what is this man saying? Get to faith. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
You say you believe, not so?
Yes.
Christ in you, the hope of glory, not so?
Yes.
Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, not so?
Yes.
Alright, so if he's with you, he's in you, and you are carrying him everywhere, from place to place, and you don't bother introducing him to anybody, then I doubt that he's really with you. Are you listening to what I'm saying?
Yes.
Christianity that is not expressive is not authentic. Are you listening to what I'm saying? It's not what?
Authentic.
It's not authentic. So, in 2015, be a real Christian.
Yes.
Are you listening to what I'm saying? Be what?
Yes.
Be a real Christian. Express your Christianity.
You.
Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I said shout hallelujah. So if you are walking by faith, that's part of what you will be doing. You will be invested in ensuring that that souls are drawn into the kingdom of God. Not only by going out, but even praying them into. You see, what you are doing now in this Bend Us, O Lord season, you don't know the value of it. I'm telling you. Because the Bible said, it said, as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. So the birth of souls starts in prayer. The birth of souls. Whenever we have a local crusade going on, in our assembly we hold local crusades in various communities, We have prayer meetings going on from Monday to Friday, 8 to 5. The 9 solid hours of prayer. Why? Because the souls that will be born in the meeting must go through the labor room of prayer. So it's not just the word that is spoken, but the prayer that is offered that allows the power of God to be brought to bear to see the souls delivered. So what you are doing right now is one of the greatest assistants of your faith. This season of prayer. There are many of you that will, if you are sincere with yourself, you would know that where you are on day one, as far as your faith is concerned, is not where you are on day 90. Why? Not only because of the word, but actually also because of your exercise in prayer. Remember, building up yourself upon your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So on the altar of prayer, where you are kingdom minded particularly, you find yourself growing in faith. You see, the truth is this. Think about it. Any prayer you are praying for yourself, it has a certain length.
Yeah.
You cannot go past.
Yeah.
Is it true?
Yeah.
Am I telling the truth?
Yes.
Okay, Lord, give me this house. I pray for this house. No, after sometimes the number of words to use to pray for this house will finish. And after that, Lord, I thank you because so 10 minutes maybe. At the end of the day, Father, I thank you because you have heard me.
Amen.
There's nothing else to pray. But when it is kingdom minded, you find yourself exercising in the spirit 1 hour, many times 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours. Why? Because there is, it comes to a point where you have no language to utter it, and that is where the language of the spirit becomes so, you know, becomes so potent. You are exercising yourself in the spirit. Why? Because that is the desire of God, and your heart is now united with him in faith. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's so simple. As a believer, I hardly have personal prayer points. Very hardly. Most of my prayer points, 90%, are kingdom prayer points. Are you listening to what I'm saying? When Jesus told them to pray, what did he say? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The only one line is, give us this day our daily bread. So how come our own is the opposite? The whole prayer is about ourselves. Then at the end, Lord, just bless your church. Most Christians are living an upside down life. Upside down life. Now let me give you this spiritual guarantee. If you face God's cause, he will naturally settle your case. Are you listening to what I'm saying? There are people here that you have been coming all these days, bend us, oh Lord, praying for the kingdom of God. And perhaps there are people wondering, you are not even praying for yourself. How can you be praying 90 days, bend us, oh Lord, what will he give you? But as you find yourself facing his cause, it begins to settle your case. Are you listening to what I'm saying? The life of faith is a life that is addicted to the cause of God. I discovered something in Luke chapter 2 verse 37. We met a woman there. Her name was Anna. Anna was, I think, 87 years old. The Bible said that she served the Lord continuously in prayer and in fasting. What shocked me is this. Between the book of Malachi and the book of Matthew, there is about 400 years. They call it the silent years. But the only two people God spoke to, Anna and Simon. There are only two. There is no other record of anybody that God spoke to within that season until John will come and Christ will come. There was no voice from heaven. But there are two people. One, a man called Simon, filled with the Holy Ghost. And then two, a woman called Anna, committed to prayer. You saw the covenant qualifier. She said she departed not from the temple. There are some of you that have been here almost day and night. People look at you as if your life is useless. But I'd like you to understand something. There is no one who is sown into the kingdom ground like a seed that will not rise in glory. Are you listening to what I'm saying? No one. And until they mock you, God can't make you. So let the mockery continue. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Let them mock you. Look at you. Every day you are going to church. You are going to church. What has church done for you? Tell them, keep watching. Keep watching. Don't mock the seed while it's in the ground. Keep watching. Are you listening to what I'm saying? It's going to start growing. Don't mock it when it just shoots out of the ground. You are not yet the finished product yet. Keep watching. Keep watching. Your commitment to the kingdom ground is the guarantee for your beautification. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So, if there is anybody here who is not committed, you better start now. 2015 must be a year of kingdom commitment. That's the pathway. There is no shortcut to glory. If you take time and read John chapter 12, I don't have time to do it now. John chapter 12, 23 to 26. Jesus made it clear there. He said, the hour for the Son of Man to be glorified has come. But except the corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it will bring forth much fruit. He said, he that serves me, my Father will honor. He that serves me, the one who serves me in this degree, the one who is ready to be planted as a seed in the kingdom. So your commitment to the cause of God, your kingdom dedication, is actually one of the expressions of walking by faith. You know why? Because it is facing the cause of God. And to walk by faith is to walk according to his word. And to walk according to his word is to walk according to his cause. Shout hallelujah. I say shout hallelujah. Are you getting it now?
Yes.
Very simple. That is what working for God has to do with on the subject of faith. And I pray for you that God will give you the grace to make the new year a year of commitment to God. To make the new year a year of commitment to God. In the precious name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Rise your feet with me. Lift your hand to heaven. And give God thanks for his word that you have received.
Someone's knocking at the door. Someone's knocking at the door. Can you hear him knocking? Can you hear him knocking? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Is that the door?
Say after me, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I know that I'm a sinner. But I know you died for me. And on the third day you rose again. Jesus, come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior. Take control of me from this day forward. Now I know that I am born again. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I pray for you, Father. I thank you today for these precious ones you have drawn into your kingdom. Let the grace that has brought them keep them in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, for each one of them, we decree today that the barriers against their life and destiny be broken in the name of Jesus. Grace to walk with you all the days of their lives. Release it upon them. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Somebody believe, say a loud amen.
If you have just received Christ as your Lord and Savior, or were blessed through this broadcast, we would love to hear from you. For inquiries and testimonies, send an email to info@tglmedia.org. We also invite you to visit one of our Winners Chapel churches near you anywhere around the world. Until next time, keep walking in the great light.